Can you hear me?
Log Talk Radio.
Welcome to the What's Important Now broadcast. In America today, we are witnessing a cultural shift. This is the show devoted to the battle for the soul of our country. Join our host, Tom Sears, as he explains the issues of our day. And join the fight to bring values and morality back. Let's join Tom now as he shares What's Important Now.
I'm Tom Sears. Thanks for being a part of our program. Invite you to email us at whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com. whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. Well, first, I hope all of you are doing well, staying safe. That's the most important thing. We are living in unprecedented times, for sure. And again, we hope you're safe, and we hope that you are doing well, you and your families. I know that schools are shut down across the nation, and it's just trying times. We have a special guest with us on the program today, Pastor Jamie Gizzi. He's the lead pastor of Bethel Temple Christian Center, and he's the founder and lead pastor of Calvary's Victory Ministries. And we are going to talk about this COVID-19 and religious freedom, the consequences of what we're seeing from this pandemic. Pastor Jamie, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing? How you doing, Tom? Good to be with you.
Yeah, we're doing great. Hope you and your family are staying safe and healthy.
Yes, sir. Doing the best we can.
That's it. I think that's the best that any of us can do during this time. Well, you and I have talked, off the radio program, just in, by telephone or text or whatever, and we're seeing a lot of different things happening in America today. I read an article this morning about how, there's a lot of evangelicals who they're going to vote for President Trump, but at the same time, they're not necessarily willing to follow his social distancing guidelines. And we've talked about it on this program before. First, let me ask, and just to preface this, as a pastor, I have suspended our services at our church because we feel that it's important to honor those in authority. What did you do?
Mm-hmm. We did the same thing, and the angle that we took was, basing from Romans chapter 13, where we're to be in subjection to those that are in authority above us. Like when I met with my leadership, when we had to make the difficult decision to, go on a temporary hiatus, he said, the thing was, he wasn't asking us, well, whether it was the president, our governor, whoever. Nobody was asking us to do anything that was unbiblical. They were asking us to do what we could to keep the public safe. And based on that, we felt it was in the best interest, just to show the public that, hey, we do respect the decisions of our government. Again, they were not unbiblical. They were, as far as I was concerned, they were very reasonable requests. We felt that it was in best interest to show that we do support those that are in civil leadership. We respect them, we respect their authority, and we respect the fact that they have information that we're not privy to.
Right. Yeah, and I know from our perspective, it really came down to trying to do what was best for what we felt was best, honestly, for the entire population. Just try to follow those guidelines. What I'm seeing now is a bit of impatience is starting to kick in. We're starting to see protests and rallies across the nation. Some states are witnessing their citizens literally violating the social distancing guidelines. People are growing a little impatient, and we're starting to see that the COVID-19 numbers are going down. Here in the state of West Virginia, our governor is saying, hey, we're going to ease back into this and start trying to get life back to normal. Do you see this growing impatience? I mean, people starting to get a little bit concerned?
Brother, let's take a trip to our local Walmart. You know, I was there, I believe it was one day last week. I had to pick up some essential things that we needed at the house. And it was right around the day that the stimulus checks had hit people's bank accounts. And I mean, it was absolutely insane. It looked like Christmas. And, you know, you could see the frustration with people. You could see, you know, where cabin fever had set in, and, you know, folks were starting to look at it. Well, you know, is this as serious as we've been told? And, you know, again, not privy to the information that some of our respected government leaders, and yes, we do have some of those, the respected government leaders,
right.
Based on the information that they have, you know, like I said, I feel that it's in the best interest that we wait this out and we see what happens over the next week, over the next several days, and just go from there.
I tend to agree with you. I think that, you know, as a pastor of a church, I'm trying to just wait and see what our governor says. I know that you're probably like me. I'm really anxious to get back in the sanctuary with our people. I know that our people are anxious to get back into the sanctuaries. But, you know, this hasn't been a bad thing that's happened as far as spiritually speaking. One of the things we've talked about is that it's given a lot of people an opportunity to just kind of take a step back, focus on the basics of life, get back to being with their families, and back to being with their God. Because the crisis in America with Christianity is that people show up on Sunday, maybe, but the relationship struggles throughout the week. So this really, I think, was eye-opening. Plus, and you and I have talked off the record about this, that, you know, we're seeing more people attend services online, and maybe some of those people would never have walked into church before.
Yeah, and you know, Tom, the worst part about that is, and we just have to lay blame at the doorstep of where it belongs, and it belongs at the church house.
I agree.
You know, here in America, and again, you and I have talked about this in the past. You and I both grew up in a time where there was a lot of legalism in the church. And you still see that today, but you know, folks are taking more of an interest in studying scripture for themselves. And, you know, why were people staying away from the church building? Why were they staying away from the public gathering? Well, a lot of it was, they didn't feel like they were welcome. You know, folks, based on physical appearance, based on, you know, the color of their hair or how many tattoos they had up and down their arms or even the clothes on their back, a lot of folks made them feel very unwelcome, and they didn't feel like they belonged. And, you know, it was almost to the point where it became like a social club rather than, you know, a meeting for praise and worship to God. It was more of a social gathering. And, you know, like you said, the amount of people just since, you know, when we started the Church Livestream Network here 2 weeks ago today, as a matter of fact, the folks that are watching our program through that network, my goodness gracious, we've increased viewership almost 300%.
Yeah.
So, you know, it wasn't that, you know, and this is, you know, just me talking here. It wasn't so much that people had turned against Christianity, it was people that turned against church. And honestly, based on some of my personal experience, I understand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a very valid point. You know, and I think that what we've seen is, at least I hope so, is that we've seen, you know, people starting to reconnect with God, trying to.
Absolutely.
Because there's been a discussion, Jamie, and I know you're really, really on this topic as far as like end times prophecy and things like that. I know you really enjoy that topic, as do I. And, you know, there's been a lot of social media posts about people saying, this is the end, guys. We need to get serious with God. I mean, people that don't typically, that just live their lives, they just go day by day, they do what they do. All of a sudden, they're thinking about eternity, and that can never be a bad thing.
Right. No, that's never a bad thing. The one thing that I've tried to emphasize is, and this goes back to some of the experiences that we've seen in the church. You know, I remember the whole thing in 1988, you know, 88 reasons why Christ will return in 88. And then the 9/11 thing. And a lot of people come running out of fear. And the one thing that, and I've noticed you've done this on, you know, the broadcast from New Beginnings, and we've done it, and several of our, you know, our contacts and brothers and sisters in Christ are doing this. We're telling people, don't come to him out of fear. Come to him out of, you know, because you have genuine faith. And that's what we're seeing a lot of people, you know, at least I am seeing a lot of people come running in that direction, which is always a good thing. You know, the one thing that we've tried to emphasize is that, you know, the gathering together, according to Hebrews 10, is very important. And we don't want people to neglect that. When things do get straightened out, and they will, you know, we want to encourage people to come. Yes, it is easy to sit at home. The technology that we have today is absolutely amazing. But at the same token, there's nothing like good fellowship amongst brothers and sisters.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that we've tried to emphasize, you and I, is that what we do is not everybody's typical definition of church. You know, we want people to realize that we're part of the body of Jesus Christ. And, you know, we're that called out, separated congregation that he's called us to be. And we want people to see, hey, you know what? Serving God is serious. You can enjoy yourself at the same time. You don't have to worry
Absolutely.
About being stuck in a legalistic prison.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're listening to What's Important Now. We're joined by Pastor Jamie Gizzi. We're just talking about the consequences of this COVID-19 pandemic. And there are good consequences and there are bad consequences. One of the things we're seeing now, Jamie, is the issue is being brought up, and it's being brought up by a lot of church folk, that what's happening in America today is actually an attack on religious freedom. And so this program, What's Important Now, one of its foundations that we've established upon is to fight against this religious persecution, this persecution of Christianity in America that is not necessarily physical, but there is an agenda behind the scenes. With that being said, a lot of people are grabbing a hold of this, but in my opinion, what they are doing is they are using a religious freedom sort of banner that they're standing for religious freedom so that they can sort of back up their own agenda. For instance, maybe they have refused to shut down during this time because they say this is government taking away our right to worship. Do you see it that way? How do you see this so-called war on religion?
I agree with you, Tom. I look at it from that people are using this for their own benefit and for their own agenda. You know, the question that I've asked myself and you know, the leadership that we have here in this ministry, you know, what takes precedent, God's word or our Constitution? Now, I am proud to be an American. I thank God every day that I was born in this country. I come from a military family. I will stand for the national anthem, and I will stand for our flag. With that said, again, this goes back to a point we made just a few moments ago. What we're being asked to do, and especially, you know, as you look at it, just in the history of our country, look at the way that people look to the Christian leadership. To, you know, not only did they look to governmental leadership, but they also looked to church leadership. How were they going to respond to different things? And again, we weren't asked to do anything that was unbiblical. And there has not been one time through this whole season, and we're going on what now, about a month and a half.
Absolutely.
I haven't felt that my constitutional rights or my religious freedoms were under attack. I felt like, hey, you know what? We were, as leaders in the community, because you and I know this, people know who we are, and we're under a microscope, and they're watching how we're responding to this. And if we come across not respecting the folks that have the information that we don't have, now, again, this is not a lack of faith in God. This is simply acknowledging the fact that there are people in positions that have information that you and I are not privy to. You know, when they're asking us, hey, help us, we don't know everything about this. Okay, do whatever you can to help us keep the public safe. I feel like we have a responsibility to do just that, and to do otherwise, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying,
sure.
You know, if we neglect our responsibility to keep folks safe, then, you know, what agenda are we serving?
No, I agree. I agree 100%. And I'll tell you this, that, you know, as a shepherd, I feel like it's important that we look out for our people. And, you know, if we continue to, especially during the peak of this thing, while, you know, the spreading and there's just stuff we don't know, I think if we're bringing people into our sanctuaries, gathering in crowds, I think we put them at a greater risk. And I think something that's been missed is that people say, well, you know, it only affects the older population, which is not true, by the way. There's a lot we're seeing about this virus that we didn't know. But even if that were true, we're coming together, we're passing it around, and then it's getting to the older population. And to me, this was for me, it did not come down to faith versus fear. You know, that's one of the argument. I've seen some ministers come out very publicly and say some very really vulgar things. I saw one pastor come out and allude to the fact that I'm going to put this in a really nice way, that pastors who shut down their churches left their manhood at home. Now, he said it in a far more vulgar way, but I toned it down.
Yeah, I saw the same clip. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so like I was just completely taken aback and offended by that. Personally, but people are going to say and do what they say and do. Here's the thing. To me, this was not a matter of faith. You know, I believe God will keep me. I mean, I've been to India. I've laid hands on HIV patients. I've laid hands on patients with leprosy without fear and in total faith. This was about, you know, as Americans, we're supposed to come together, join together, be united. And that's what I was trying to do. And it's like the one Sunday, the last Sunday we were open, I told my congregation, I said, I'm going to take some very basic steps, following the guidelines of the CDC and our president and our governor, and we're not going to shake hands. And it's not that I'm afraid to shake your hand. It's that I'm a leader and I'm going to set an example. And for me, that's what I was trying to do. Do you see this argument with faith and fear? How do you look at that perspective?
Well, see, we followed the same basic guideline that you did as well. And again, it was through this whole thing. Now, you're talking to someone who has played on both sides of the fence, so to speak. My faith was never in question through this. To be honest with you, I looked at this and I told my wife when we first started hearing, you know, okay, let's start the social distancing, let's cut out some of the unnecessary travel, let's come out or cut out some of the unnecessary meetings. And I told my wife, I said, you know, this encourages me from a faith perspective, simply because we've never seen anything like this in our country. We've never, not in my lifetime, and I know I'm a little bit older than you, so I know never in your lifetime have we seen anything like this in this country. And all it did was really strengthen my faith, and it caused me to, to run towards a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, for anybody to question, and again, going back to the video that you had just mentioned. For anybody to question, you know, our manhood or our faith in God, to me, I'm going to be honest with you, I looked at it and I discussed this with another pastor friend of ours who happens to be related to you. We discussed this together and said, you know, all it was let's just do what we can to gain an audience. You know, let's just put something out there so controversial that it draws attention to us. And, you know, through this, and I know you've done this as well, this has given us an opportunity to put more emphasis on Jesus Christ than we ever have. And I'm talking not even just through ministry, but even in our marriages, even in our family.
Absolutely.
Our home. This has been, I'm going to be honest with you, and as crazy as this sounds, this has been one of the best seasons I've ever experienced in my life.
Spiritually,
because,
I agree.
Oh, yeah, it caused me to slow down the fast pace of everyday life. And, you know, I've been able to spend time with my family that otherwise I wouldn't have. And it wasn't because I couldn't. It was, you know, going back to the saying, you can't see the forest because of all the trees. You know, it was, okay, this is what I got to do on Monday. This is what I got to do on Tuesday. This is what I got to do on Wednesday. Well, now it's, you know what? I get to not only worship and glorify my God through this, but I also get to honor my family in a way that I haven't before. I get to pray more than I have before. And, you know, that, and not making any excuses, but there were times that I got lackadaisical. And I know several pastors that I've spoken to personally have said the same thing.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this has been a huge faith builder for me, and I thank God for it.
Absolutely. It kind of leads me to my next topic. What do you think God has been saying through all this? What's the message he's trying to get across to his church? What have you sensed? What have you felt in this increased prayer time? What is it that he is trying to say to his people?
Well, pretty simple. Wake up. You know, the fact that we live in arguably the greatest nation that has ever been on this planet, I would say that if we're definitely in the top two, and I would put Israel somewhere in that ranking as well. We have at times, you know, whether it was secularly or spiritually, we've become very very numb to things that are going on around us. Very lackadaisical, very lazy. And I really believe that, you know, everything that happens, let me say this, everything that happens, we have to weigh against Scripture. And I have seen so much, so many parallels. You go back to at the end of the book of Genesis, when Joseph encounters his brothers after, you know, all the situation had happened in his life. And he made a good point, and we can, you know, it's very relevant today, and we can apply it to what we've been going through. What the adversary has meant for harm, God has turned around and used for good. And I really believe that, you know, there's been times, you know, I've pictured in my mind God sitting there shaking his head and saying, you know, what is it going to take, you know, to wake up the church in America? And, you know, I'd say welcome to reality, you know, welcome to that. And I believe that he's telling us, hey, you know what? It's time to wake up, and it's time to get ready.
I think you hit the nail right on the head. That this is not only an opportunity to reconnect with families, but this is the opportunity to reconnect with God. And you know, I've been preaching in my church for several years now that there was coming a time where we would need him like we've never needed him before. And I don't know if you've heard, you know, one of my programs, I talked about how the Lord had given me a vision of waves really over the last several years. The first wave, I believe we're in the first wave. I believe that personally. And but he told me there's a second wave that is going to be bigger. It's going to have a larger impact. And I don't tell people that out of fear, because what I've learned through this, through praying, because God showed me over the course of several years, what I've learned is that those waves, it's not bringing all bad stuff. It's all about position. It's about where you're positioned with God.
Yeah.
And, you know, Elijah, for instance, you know, he's facing the prophets of Baal 150 years before, and he's forcing the people to make a decision. He says, how long are you going to be halted between two opinions? If you're going to serve God, serve God. If you're going to serve Baal, but make up your mind. That's about 150 years before Israel's fall. And so God always brings in this warning. He's always speaking. He's always talking. And I think that leading up to these moments, there were plenty of warnings. This did not catch God off guard. And I'm not saying God is up there creating coronavirus to throw down on people. That is not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is he's not caught off guard, and everything bad, he will turn it for the good. He will turn it around so that people have an opportunity. You know what I mean? And so
absolutely.
I just think that's I think you're dead on when you say he is crying out to us and he is saying, wake up. Question now, where do we go from here? What happens next?
For me personally, I told some folks here a while back that, you know, here we are trying to it's almost like navigating a ship through uncharted waters. Mm-hmm. We've never seen anything like this before. And, you know, again, weighing everything against Scripture, I go back to the words of John the Baptist and the prophecy that he gave concerning the coming Messiah. And he said that he had the winnowing fork in his hand, and he said that he was going to separate the wheat from the chaff. And, you know, like you said, there's the waves. You know, not all waves are necessarily bad news. And, you know, what's going to come out of this? Okay, if this, and just looking at it from that perspective, if this was, and I believe, I'm right there with you. I believe that this was one of those waves, you know, that caused harm. Do I believe that it came from God? Absolutely not. But I believe the opportunities that this has created has definitely come from God. And are we going to be attentive? Are we going to open our ears and listen to what the Spirit says to the body of Christ today? You know, we look at the fallout from this. Well, I mean, I wonder how many souls have genuinely been saved, you know, have genuinely come running to Jesus Christ in faith because of this. So what is where do we go from here? We got to keep he's the one that's in charge. God is never our co-pilot. He's always the pilot. And we just have to follow the leading of his Spirit. And I believe that if we will pay attention and we continue down the present course, and I'm talking about from a supernatural perspective, if we continue down the present course, we're going to see some even more amazing things. The things that you've experienced in India, some of the miracles that you've seen, you know, it's almost like that we were standing at a glass door and looking through, you know, that we're not able to cross the threshold, but we were able to see these things from afar. Well, you know, it's almost like the Lord has broke down that threshold, and now broke down that barrier, and now we're able to walk through that threshold. And the things that he's wanted us to experience here, that you've seen in other countries, and you know, those things, he's wanting us to see those things here. He's wanted to show us, hey, these things can happen here if you have enough faith to believe. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I'm sorry to interrupt. You had mentioned early in the program about, you know, the legalism that was in the church, and it's kind of like God has to allow things to be stripped down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And when you reference the wave and that God didn't create that, I want people to understand, because I believe in a sovereign God, and I believe that he either allows or causes absolutely everything to happen. And so when those waves hit, just because he didn't cause it, what that means to me, and I think you'll agree, is that he could have stopped it. He could have held it back. We live in a fallen, sinful world, and I believe there are weapons formed against us all the time. But at some point, I believe it's in the book of Jeremiah, where the Bible says that our own sin will correct us. At some point, he allows things to happen that gets our attention. And he allows the impact of the wave. I believe that. You know what I mean? Like how it impacts
us. I agree with that 100%.
And I went through something, and I told you about this, I think, last week by the telephone. Just real quick, I was battling in my body for the first 3 weeks of the pandemic. I mean, like, and it was one of those battles where, and I'm not going to get into all the details, but it was one of those health issues that it could be an infection or it could be something really, really serious. And so I called the doctor. We did the telehealth thing, you know, over the iPad, and they gave me antibiotics, and I took the course of antibiotics, and guess what? Nothing went away. But during that first 2 weeks where I'm taking those antibiotics, I'm praying, and I'm feeling like God is really trying to teach me to trust in him more. You know what I mean? Just trust me.
Yeah.
And I'm not giving medical advice to anyone listening. I'm just saying this is the personal experience that I had. And I can tell you that when the antibiotic ended and the symptoms didn't go away, I pressed into prayer more. I got a little more stubborn, and I said, "Lord, here's the deal. You're gonna have to touch me, or I'm not gonna get touched. I'm not gonna be made whole if you don't do it." And during that time, pressing into prayer, he gave me a vision on a certain venture. That I mean, I've had multiple visions in my life about the direction that I should go, and when I get it, I pursue it. You know, so he used it to sort of open up that window for me. Well, guess what happened? I didn't tell you this part. Last week when we did our live stream, I promised God, I said, when you heal me, I'm going to tell everybody about it, you know?
Right.
And so there I am behind the pulpit. I'm testifying that I have no symptoms and that God has touched my body. And Jamie, wouldn't you know, the very next day, the symptoms came back full force. I mean, full force, to the point that I was very, like, very anxious, very fearful, very whatever. And my wife said to me, my wife said to me, she said, you should have expected this. You proclaimed your healing. You should have expected that the enemy was going to come back in. And I tell you, I got a bad attitude. I did. I'm being honest. I got a bad attitude, and I was like, nah, he healed me, and I shouldn't have any. But I'll tell you, I'm here today telling you that for at least 4 to 5 days now, I've had absolutely no problems. And I stood. I got really scared, and I pressed on. But my point in all of saying all that, one, is to give glory to God, and two, is to say that even though he's allowing this to happen, because he is, he could stop it.
Absolutely.
But he's allowing it to happen, and he's speaking to his people. And I just think we need to listen, you know? I think that we need to listen. Go ahead.
Yep, absolutely. No, I was going to say, you know, not only I believe that not only was he using this as a wake-up call for, you know, even people that, you know, using an old Pentecostal church word, that were backslidden, or even mm-hmm. people that were unsaved. You know, I can look at this personally and say this was a wake-up call for me. And, you know, again, he could have stopped this. He could have stopped it the minute. I mean, you go back to when this first started hitting the news waves, and this goes back to the fall of last year, you know, back in the autumn months. You know, we first started hearing about this, and it could have been stopped right there. But, you know, and this may sound crazy to anybody that's listening, but I thank God that this season, that he allowed this season to happen. Because, again, you know, looking at your situation and seeing the increase in your faith through this. And, again, I know what he's done in my life. I know what he's done, you know, just in the last few months with me. And, you know, I don't want it to change. You know, I've had several pastors from, you know, all over our country that have contacted me, and they asked the same question. They said, where do we go from here? And I said, I certainly hope we don't go back to where we were before.
Exactly. Yeah. My message this past Sunday was, we cannot return to normal. You know, God really woke me up and began to speak to me, and I got that message, you know, pursuing my healing. And I just started thinking about how selfish I am, you know, like that. I love that song. I think it's Natalie Grant sings it. It says, you know, help me want the healer more than the healing, you know, but when we're fought, we're so attached to this world. And I think that every Christian whose heart is turned towards God, I think we go through a process. I mean, I'm going through it. Is where you'd start disconnecting from this world a little bit, where it's not your everything. Your everything, he is that everything, and his plan and his will for your life. And I love how Paul said, I have run the race, I have finished my course, and now waiting for me. I love that. And I love how he said, I'm going to pursue the reason I was pursued. I'm going to press on. I'm going to find out. I'm going to walk in that place that he's called me to walk in. I love that. I think that is absolutely amazing. I had asked you the question, where do we go from here? And you know, you were talking about waking up and not going back to normal. And I just started thinking about an alarm clock and how we push snooze mm-hmm. so many times, you know, snooze. I pray that when we do go back into our buildings and back to our churches, back to our sanctuaries, that it's not just the pandemic woke us up, but then we go back to push and snooze again. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I had shared this with you that, you know, the vision that God had given me 18 months ago woke me up out of a flat, cold sleep. And, you know, looking back at it, I was just kind of thinking, well, don't really know what he meant. And, you know, to see how, you know, you and myself and Bobby have, you know, just little, you see these little pieces of the puzzle coming together.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I'm going to bring Bobby into this conversation here for a few moments. You know, a couple months ago, I was with him on a Sunday evening, and the Holy Spirit spoke through him and gave a prophetic word that, you know, and he was speaking to me directly and said, you know, you can't see, you're only seeing little bits and pieces at a time, and because God's not ready to show you the full picture yet. Well, I just last week, that came back up in a conversation I was having with him, And I told him, I said, do you realize that that wasn't a prophetic word just for me? That was a prophetic word for us as a whole, as a group. And, you know, the creativity that he stirred up with me and the creativity that he stirred up with you and the creativity that he stirred up with Bobby. I'm like you. I'm looking forward to being able to come back in the building to see the people that we haven't been able to see for the last month and a half. Mm-hmm. However, I don't want it to just – I don't want that to be the status quo again.
Absolutely.
And I can't – for me personally, I can't go back to – the way things were at the end of February or the beginning of March. You know, we've really got an opportunity to press into something amazing here. And I really believe we need to take full advantage. You know, we have the, going back to what I said there a few moments ago about John the Baptist, said he's got the winnowing fork in his hand and he's separating the wheat from the chaff. All right. Which side of the fence do we want to be on? You know, yeah. I want to be part of that's stored and is useful. I really, God help the folks that go back to the same old, same old.
Agreed, 100%. So you talk about like how God is piecing things together, and I agree. You had this idea, this sort of brainchild. You started almost immediately into the when churches started closing. You started organizing a list of ministers and pastors from really around the state, and I think there's even those from outside the state.
It has been around the world.
Yes. So talk about what happened there, because you started a list and then it turned into a Facebook page where live streams are posted. Talk about that a little bit.
Sure. 18 months ago, it was about between 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning. And I can't tell you the exact date. This was one of those times that I didn't grab a piece of paper and a pencil and write down, because normally I do. When the Holy Spirit speaks, I tend to document everything. That way I can, you know, look back at it and see specifically when it was. I don't know the exact date, but I know it was between 3 and 4 in the morning. The Lord woke me up, and I felt it almost felt like somebody was sitting on my side of the bed. And I actually woke up and asked my wife why she was sitting there. And, you know, she was laying on her side of the bed, and she said, what are you talking about? And I'm kind of looking in the dark, and I know somebody's there, but it's not her. You know, she's where she's supposed to be. And it wasn't a fearful thing. It was, there was a such a peace that was in my home at that point. And I heard the word network. And when I got up, I went into another room in the house, and I grabbed a piece of paper and started writing down as the Holy Spirit was speaking to my spirit. And he said that the day is coming where I'm going to network my body supernaturally in the same manner that the human body works, you know, with the muscles and the tendons and the mm-hmm. blood vessels and, you know, right down to the smallest
fibers. Which is biblical.
That's
biblical.
Which is biblical.
That's from the
yeah.
Bible. Absolutely.
Absolutely. That he was going to bring us to a point where we would start working together to be the body he's called us to be. And I wrote that down and you know, just kind of put it, compartmentalized it and, you know, didn't give it a second thought. And even the night that prophetic word was spoken, it still didn't even register with me. And then going back to when God gave you the vision of the wagon wheel, didn't even register with me. Well, then, I was in a conversation with another pastor here in West Virginia, and that came up in the conversation, and I thought, wow, here it is. It didn't even click with me until that point. And I remembered about 3 days prior, this goes back to two Tuesdays ago. And I remembered about 3 days prior to that, somebody just randomly posted something on Facebook about how nice it would be to have, you know, some kind of an idea when everybody's doing their live streams, when they're posting their videos and whatnot. And that was where the whole idea for this came from. And I had put a message out there, hey, you know, if you're going to do your live streams, let me know what time your services begin. That way we can direct people to your pages, whether you broadcast through your personal page or whether you broadcast through the ministry page. And, you know, I think that first week, I want to say it was 32 right off the bat. I mean, it was happening so fast, I couldn't even keep track of it. It was within an hour that 32 ministries from around the country. I think within that first hour, we were able to link up with ministries in 7 different states. And it was just within not even 24 hours, Bobby had contacted me, and he said, have you thought about putting this together on a just a centralized page, on a group page on Facebook? And I said, not really. And I said, I don't play around on Facebook enough to navigate through some of the intricacies. You know, I've got pages through the ministries and personal pages, but never anything like that. And he said, well, if you don't mind, he said, I'll set a page up. And I'm like, hey, welcome aboard, you know, because I can't do this by myself. You know, this is going to be something that that is going to have to be, it's going to take more than just me. And that's what I told you yesterday. And I've told him, you know, you guys are just as much, and all the ministers and all the pastors that are a part of this, you guys are just as much a part of this as I am. You know, God spoke one thing to me. He spoke another part to Bobby. He's spoken another piece to you.
Yeah.
And, you know, now I don't even, I have lost track of the states. I'm going to guess and say that we've probably networked over, talking about the number of states, at least 50% of the country. And then I know there's been some contributions from Africa, and I know from Asia. This thing grew very quickly, a lot faster than bigger than anything I would have ever dreamed.
It's been amazing to watch, honestly, just the amount of likes that grow daily, and it's been fun. And I hope that continues. My prayer is that continues after everybody goes back to quote unquote normal. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. I know that, and I've talked to you. I haven't really talked a great deal to the public about this, but we're working on. It's been something we've been talking about for about 3 years in my ministry. One of the things I was praying for my health goes back to my testimony, and I'm like, because again, if antibiotic didn't take it away, it was likely a very serious issue, and so I was like, Lord, there's no way this is all you've got for me. Like, is this it? I mean, that's how I was praying. I'm very open and transparent. I'm just like, listen, is this it? You know, and fear, more fear can work on you. And if anyone that's battled fear out there, you know that it's crippling and your mind lies to you and tells you all kind of things. And, and so I was just like, I guess this is it. And I said, what do you want? What do you want for the rest of my life? I'm a very busy guy. I do a lot of things. And I'm like, what do you want? Because there's good things and there's God things. So what do you want me to do? And
right.
I saw something, and I'll leave all that out because it would be inappropriate without, you know, telling some other people. But I saw something that I was like, wow. And so one of the ideas that we had really for the last 3 years, I've had it in my heart for a long, long time to start a Christian television network. And that we're going to run and operate online. And as a matter of fact, we've already started the purchasing process to be on Roku, and we'll have a website, and we're hoping that the networking can continue even on that station, on that channel, or however you want to call it. We're going to call it Awakening Christian Network. And it is our hope, because we're believing God for another great awakening. And so we want to network with pastors and ministries to get the gospel out there. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus and his people. And so that's the goal. So when you talk about the pieces of the puzzle, it's been a really positive thing that's developed through this pandemic. So I'm excited. I know you're excited. And, you know, we'll see what God does from here. But I think one message I know he sent to me, I know he sent it to you, he's not done yet. There's a lot he's got left to do. And have you ever sat back, Pastor Jamie, and thought to yourself, man, I'm living during this time. Like, I was brought to the kingdom for such a time as this, you know?
Oh,
crazy.
Oh, absolutely. It is. It's funny. I was just mentioning that to somebody here a few days ago. My wife had come in my office at the church building here. It's been this year sometime, maybe January, beginning of February. I don't remember when it was. I'm a big collector of anything, you know, Route 66 related, that time period, you know, 40s, 50s, early 60s. And I had a bunch of signs, a bunch of old signs and a bunch of old just little things that I've picked up here and there along the way. And, you know, she brought that stuff over and hung it on half the walls in my office. Half my office looks like a pastor's office. The other half looked like an oldies diner. And I was just telling somebody the other day, I said, you know, I've looked at things and you know, to kind of echo what Paul said, he said that he was an apostle that was born out of his time. And I said, you know, there's times that I have felt like that, you know, that because I would have loved to grown up. You know, I'm a big fan of the Back to the Future series and just that whole thing, that whole time period from the mid-50s, whatnot. And I said, you know, that would have been really neat, but that wasn't God's plan. You know, I don't even know if you know this about me, but my mom and dad adopted me when I was 3 days old. And I was born 4 years after Roe versus Wade. And, to go back to hear the story, now I don't know anything about my biological family. I don't know who they are. As far as I'm concerned, I know who my family is, and I've just left it at that. But
right.
What I had heard was the reason why I was given up for adoption was it was either the baby or the rock band. And, you know, at that time, even I was thinking about this. I just here not too long ago, I was maybe talking to my wife about this. I said, you know how easy it could have been for them to choose to, and I'm going to call for what it is. They could have murdered me. You know, they could have murdered me. And as a baby, as an unborn baby, and they didn't do it. They brought, for whatever reason, I was born. My mom and dad adopted me. And I could go back through, stories of my mom and dad's past and how the Lord put all that together and how he brought them together. And just, you know, it's one piece after another. And I've looked back and I said, you know, to bring this whole thing, I went, with this story a little bit longer than I anticipated. But I'm like you.
It's all good.
What an exciting time to be alive.
Absolutely.
You know, as much as I would have said, hey, you know, I'd have loved to have been around, when in the 40s and the 50s, whatnot. I wouldn't trade this for anything. To see to see some of the prophecies of Scripture come to pass. I was just sitting here looking in Daniel 12 when he said, at the end of time, many is going to go back and forth and knowledge is going to increase. You look at this. Who would have thought? I mean, even 20 years ago, who would have ever thought? That it would have been possible to network. What was social media? You know, so for us growing up, social media was meeting at Center Court at the Meadowbrook Mall.
absolutely.
And who would have ever thought that we could one day, pull ministries from around the world without having to go to those countries directly, but we're able to pull ministries together and put them on one centralized location on a social media website. I wouldn't trade where we're at in history. We have truly been called to the kingdom for a time such as this.
Absolutely. You mentioned the mall and social media, and I got flashbacks to, do you remember the original cell phones that came out? Like the first one was in a bag in the car.
The bag.
Yeah.
If it wasn't in a bag, it was about 3 feet long. They were huge.
Yes. Yeah. So like I can remember having this cell phone that actually it was a personal cell phone, but I remember going to the mall. You know, I'm a senior in high school. I'm cool. I've got this. This cell phone was probably 3 inches thick, right? Had this antenna that was super long. And I can just remember thinking I was so cool because not everybody had one of those cell phones. Of course, if I brought that thing out today, everybody going to be laughing at me. But
it's funny how times change. Before that, it was a beeper. You were a cool guy.
Yes. Yes. And I can remember having a beeper and a cell phone, like at the same time.
You were big time, brother.
I'll tell you what now, I was a legend in my own mind.
I'm telling you.
Well, I want to thank you for being a part of our program. I've enjoyed this time together. We're definitely going to do it again as long as you're up for it. And
absolutely.
I'll tell you. Yeah, it's been a good time. I think we've had a great discussion. And I want to give you an opportunity to close out. You can talk about your ministry a little bit and then maybe say some encouraging things to our listeners. And if you would, close in prayer.
Absolutely. We just we're not into self-promotion. This whole thing with this this network that we've come up with on Facebook, this isn't about Jamie Gizzi. This isn't about Bethel Temple Christian Center. This isn't about Calvary's Victory Ministries. This is about the kingdom of God. We're trying to lead as many people as we can to salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, going back, I'm almost 20 years into my faith. I grew up in the church, you know, have seen some of the most craziest things that you could ever imagine going on in a full gospel Pentecostal church, seen it, but never really believed until I was in my early 20s. And, you know, God got a hold of me. You're talking to somebody that, or you're listening to somebody rather, that has seen both sides of the fence. And, you know, for anybody that's listening, there's nothing out in the world for you. You know, when I came running, I'll never forget standing in the living room of the first home that I purchased. I was living by myself. And I remember when God had saved me, and it wasn't just a few months after that, he had called me into ministry. And I remember standing with two Bibles in my hand and just shouting, lifting them up in the air and shouting. And I said, God, I want to know who you are. I want to know who you are, not what Pastor so-and-so, not who he said you are, not what my mom and dad or my grandparents said you are. I want to know who you are. And, you know, I've had some great relationships in my lifetime. You know, I thank God every day for my wife and for my children. I thank God, Tom, for you every day, for Bobby, for the friends that and the close brothers in Christ that I have. But there's nothing like having a genuine relationship with him, with Jesus Christ. I've had my ups. I've had my downs. I've had my waves. There's times that I felt like I had lived on the craziest roller coaster that you could ever imagine. But there is nothing, looking back, I think about what Paul said, that I count those things behind me as though they're rubbish. You know, I have never looked in the rear view and thought, you know what, if I could just go back one time, there's nothing back there for me, and there's nothing back there for you. And we just, you know, we encourage everybody to, in this season, and again, in faith, find Jesus Christ in this. You know, he will ease a lot of your worries. He will ease a lot of your anxieties. You know, when he sends his Holy Spirit to be exactly what he said the Holy Spirit would be, our comforter. He said what he meant, and he meant what he said. And, you know, we pray for everybody that's listening. You know, we lift you guys up in prayer, and we just trust that something that we have said in this program today would really lead you, would increase your faith and lead you to the foot of the cross in order that you can boldly approach the throne of grace. So, you know, with that said, God, we cry out to you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we ask that even if there's one listener today, if there's one listener that needs you, I pray in the name of Jesus that they would find you today, God. I pray for that one that has, and at some point, maybe through a hurt, maybe through a bad circumstance, that walked away from you because of the actions of whatever. Lord, I just pray that they find you through this, God, that something that we have said has been a mechanism to lift them up and to cause them to come running back to you. And Lord, we thank you for these radio programs. We thank you for these live stream videos. We thank you for all these things that were maybe created for other purposes. We thank you that you're using them to glorify your name and your kingdom. And God, thank you for including us to be a part of that. And Lord, I pray that you bless this radio program. You bless this pastor and his family and all that they do. And Lord, we look forward to what the future holds. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Jamie, I want to thank you again for being a part of the program. Absolute honor to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor to be with you, Tom.
All right. You take care, okay?
All right. You too.
That's Pastor Jamie Gizzi, lead pastor of Bethel Temple Christian Center. He's the founder and lead pastor of Calvary's Victories Ministries, and we want to thank him for being with us. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he said it perfectly. There's nothing to go back to. We can't turn around. We got to press on. We got to be like Paul. He said, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me, and I'm going to press on. And so I want to encourage you to do that today. And don't forget, fight the good fight of faith. Contend for the faith. There is a cause. It does matter, and it is important now. Our email address is whatsimportantnowradio@gmail.com, and our mailing address, 8901 Good Hope Pike, Lost Creek, West Virginia, 26385. As always, I want to thank you for joining us and being a part of What's Important Now. This has been a journey that started back in 2003, and we just continue to share with you what we believe is important. And there's nothing more important right now than your family and your God. He loves you today, and I encourage you to reach out. All right, we're going to check on out of here. I want to thank you again. Take care. May God bless you, and may everything you put your hands to prosper. God bless.